What's up, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the off-season Swolecast. You know, usually we are in the thick of it as far as our detailed football analysis, and we're going to bring that same level of detail to important off-season topics as well. So I want to just welcome my co-host, Davis Matic. How are you doing, Davis?
Doing great. The NFT space pumping today. Logan Paul shouted out Top Shots on whatever thing Logan Paul does, which I think is mostly him. Yeah, I don't know anything about him. I know he boxes and has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But I know that in one of my on one of my Twitter lists, people were circulating there's a video of him pulling his phone up and showing his buddies his Top Shot. And actually, to be honest, to be fair to Logan Paul, explaining it in a very cogent and rational way that people can understand.
So I think Logan Paul is like low key, like sharp, like in his own way.
He's extremely rich. Of course. Yes, he is sharp.
I'm just surprised that Davis didn't do his bit where he pretends like he doesn't know like these mega influencers. Like, I just heard about Logan Paul for the first time 2 days ago.
No.
Like 2021 has been an important year for Davis, learning about such influencers as Tim Ferriss, Gary Vee, and now Logan Paul.
I love Gary Vee after learning about him. After okay. Dink explaining to me who Tim Ferriss is, could not be more out.
I'm surprised on the Gary Vee thing because you said you don't like these kind of self-help, follow your dreams type content creators. Naval? That's exactly what Gary Vee is.
Big old thumbs down to Naval. Maybe the worst Twitter account. Maybe the worst.
Don't say that because our buddy Pete Jennings is becoming...
Pete Jennings is becoming the mayor of Naval Town on Twitter.
Pete's account was terrible until he tweeted, "Well, I'm just high.
I'm high.
Yeah, he saved it all with that tweet right there.
Wait, I missed that one. What did he say?
He tweeted to Adam Levy last night that the reason why he's tweeting all this motivational stuff is that he's just high at his house and is just trying to enjoy
life. I think he said.
Yeah.
I mean, he's about to have a baby. He's probably a lot of things going through his head right now.
He didn't tweet it to Ruthless. He tweeted it to Aguiar to stay even more on brand to the show. He said, "If we were being honest, I'm stoned and reflecting on life."
Also, Peter, Aguiar, you got a nice little notification the other day.
Yeah, shout out Aguiar. Thanks for the follow, man. I do appreciate the follow backs. So let's get sushi sometime. And I'm not just talking about the kind you farm online. I'm talking some actual sushi.
Sushi swap. There we go. Yeah. We got there.
What about Uniswap?
That's what Davis and I did, except we bought the same jersey, so we have nothing to swap.
I actually am farming Uniswap with wrapped Ethereum, though.
Really?
Yeah. That is crazy. That's a new Davis, drop. Actually mining it with wrapped Ethereum.
You know, I've got a Uniswap NFT. It's like one of the big NFTs by a guy named Slime Sunday.
Well, there you go. I gotta say, Kitchen, I'm proud of you in a way because you have branched out into a space that I am not in. I do not own any of these exclusive NFTs other than one that Aaron Lammer sent me for being a fan of Coin Talk Show. That's the only non-Top Shot NFT I've bought. The ones I really like, I bet you know what these are. Nimbuds. Mm-hmm. Do you know what those are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're literally the cutest thing I've ever seen. Nimbuds on OpenSea.io. Like, they are adorable.
Yeah, Logan's got one. Our good.
Yeah, Logan shilled those to me.
Logie. You can drop a Logie something at his new his new domain address, logie.eth.
Don't do this. I wanted to talk about this, but I have not secured the domains I wanted yet. I was trying to do it earlier today.
On a public show, it's like, don't push the button.
The Shut gas
up, Davis.
Here's the thing, people listening to this, they don't know how to work
Davis,
a MetaMask.
Shut up.
All right, let's check in with Tuttle. How you doing?
I'm lost, man. I'm just over here making some soccer lineups, watching EPL on my other screen, just letting you guys talk about your stuff.
All right, so let's reset the combo for the people that have usually tuning in for fantasy football advice, there is obviously now the fantasy football community has joined either the NFT space, the non-fungible token space, the top shots, the digital space, basically. But then there's also the physical space with sports cards, which everyone is used to. Although here's the thing with sports cards, I feel like I'm lost. Like with all the things, Peter, you tweeted something that was like
hard,
that was innocent, I thought, and you got like bombarded from that. So like the card space is different than the digital space, but it definitely seems like most people are in one or the other that are in the fantasy football space. So we actually put a poll up on the Swolecast account, twitter.com/Swolecast. In the past year, have you bought a physical card? Have you bought NFT? Neither or both? So vote on that and we'll update you later. But as far as the Top Shot scene, it has just blown up. Like we've got like the second wave, like Bell's kind of started it. Then we had a little bit of regression. And now that...
Oh, you mean when Top Shots was dead? When everyone got to take their three-day victory lap on Top Shots? It reminded me of the days when Bitcoin would dip below 10,000 for a little while, and then all the no-coiners would get to have their moment and be like, you idiots, yeah. You don't know anything.
So I want to know, like, this the Logan Paul thing. Like, I want to know exactly what happened. Like, because we had the ESPN article. We've had this week, we've had the Athletic article. We've had the ESPN article that featured our friend and underdog fantasy. Well, I guess what would you call Jeremy, Peter?
A peer and a peer. fellow investor and underdog.
Yeah. So a peer and an underdog fantasy. And then we also had this. I saw there's a big sports email called The Huddle. That just deals with the business of sports. And it was the main topic this morning. So it feels like we're getting this like second wave. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about on the show today and see kind of where it goes. But it's not just that, it's also just like the digital space in general. Pete, where are you at right now?
Yeah. So I'm kind of like Davis in that I've dove head first into Top Shot, but haven't expanded out a lot. My only other NFT I have fully to my name is my Fred Van Vliet art. Although you and I do each have one of the Genesis NFT boxes, 500 to 500. And I believe we got some movement on those recently too, as far as them getting ready to drop some of the art in there.
Yeah. So to explain what this is, basically there is a digital box. It's almost like a pack basically for Top Shots or for regular sports cards, Tuttle. And when you buy this pack, not knowing the number of the serials inside, but now we understand like the different pieces that are inside. We did not understand when we first bought it, but they are locking this box tonight. And then they are sending all these art pieces. So they're sending, I believe, 7 art pieces, including like some big names, like Coldy is like the headliner for this. And you can understand, or you can see like what's in them now, but they also have a key inside of the box.
Who's Coldy?
Coldy. He's a digital artist. Coldy? Yeah. Coldie.
And that's so, big, and this is that, Pranksy's thing.
Yes. This is Pranksy's project. And Pranksy is like the big collector. He's like the big whale, the well-known name.
By like 8,000 people online.
Tuttle, I feel right. Like you kind of undersell the influence.
That you know what is good here is I was going to say when we were thinking about doing this show is that we should have DB on to be the boomer and to try and short everything. But like Tuttle is actually more of a boomer than DB. Like DB is like in on Top Shots. Like he's there. Like for all the pack drops, like he's kind hustling.
Kind of.
Am I not in there for all the pack drops?
You're yeah. a win packs guy, okay. but DB, he keeps up with it a little bit.
Yeah, no,
really? I'm in on Top Shot. I think they have a good product. Well,
good product.
It's more importantly than a good product, they have a tremendous audience for it. So that, I mean, that's all they need. This other shit is just
Tuttle. Did you get the gift? Did you qualify?
I did not. Don't even get me started on this.
Why?
It's because he wasn't hodling.
I sold all my moments. I open a pack. I sell my moments to my buddy TJ, and that's done.
What about
that's
the Shea? The Shea Gilgis.
That's the thing. I've bought and sold numerous times on the marketplace before their deadline, which was like February 10th.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, and they didn't put it in the blog that you had to actually be holding moments at the time. But I'm guessing that was the first thing they did to screen the accounts down, was that like if you had a moment, then you made the next list.
So you were a no mentor at the time?
Yes, I was a no mentor. Still am. Well, no, I have some in there, but
a no momer. So yeah, we've got one person on the show who is not a member in good standing.
Yeah.
You know who is now in the mix? Nate Noling. Noling in the Top Shot.
Nate got a Cool Cats pack, liquidated it immediately for 20% below asking on everything, and then was mad at us yesterday that he liquidated when we told him the prices were back up.
I did tell him this.
A 4 for 4 John is in on it. A bunch of NBA guys. And here's the thing is that they aren't even going to start marketing till like next month, like to the big NBA.
I take the over on that, by the way. I think they will not allow signups until the playoffs start with non-Gmail addresses, because they're still, we saw with the Cool Cats pack drop, they still, the scaling, it's still not there.
My question, which was never, I don't think, actually answered that I had a long time ago. We know they have a licensing deal with the NBA. Mm-hmm. Is this exclusive? How long is it exclusive for?
Yeah, well, we don't
again. It's,
my guess is it becomes
your guess.
My guess is that it's not exclusive, but that the barrier to trying to build a competitor to this would be pretty high now, because Top Shot's just closed a round of funding for $250 million, and I just don't.
And
we're talking about them to compete
have we
with.
Seen this before, where like one site comes out really, really strong, has the.
Dude, Top Shots is better run than FanDuel. Come on, don't be rude. Interesting.
FanDuel is still around. Like
they're also the sponsor of the Swolecast Listener League, so let's take it.
We've got, like, I mean, as far as Davis mentioned it, in that Athletic article, they referenced they had a $250 million raise that they oversold. Like, there were too many investors that wanted to buy into this product, which is a really good sign. In fact, Roham even said on Twitter that like nothing bad has ever come out of like overselling a round of funding, because just people that are going to pump the product to their audience, you know, to their respective platforms. But the valuation of the company is nearly $2 billion. And they're using this money to go after other sports leagues. So
I mean, it is a brilliant time in human society for just absolutely bonkers valuations, like altcoins with like $25 million, you know.
It's going to kill me.
The coin like barely
exists.
It's going to
kill me when they come out with their Coachella poster of investors and I'm not on it.
your name, you know, not even in the smallest level. What a bummer.
All right. So
hopefully they get a good serial killer for this one too, like the last one.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we ever got off topic, which tends to happen.
Yeah,
but
you need
anyways,
to finish this Banksy Coldy.
I like can't listen to Kitchen get this in depth on it. Like, it just zones me out.
Well, I'm trying to explain it to people that understand the Top Shot like gifts. That were like the Cool Cats. If you have 5, you get airdropped, like the challenge.
Just say super airdrop festival. People know what that means.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means.
That's a Coin Talk show reference. You should know that, Pete.
So anyways, you've got these, if you collect every month, there's a box that comes out with art from like some of the biggest NFT names. And every month will have a key inside of it. And if you collect all 11 keys, then in December, you will have unlocked like a major box. And there's like some speculation of what that will be, but it could be big. But Peter and I got in on this drop for, what is it, 0.5?
Yeah, I still owe you 0.25 ETH, I believe.
So you can now, like, the minimum on OpenSea is 5. So we're talking about 10x. And it's just going to continue to go up. So it's
you better insane. Send them that 0.25 off chain, or else you'll be paying through the nose, brother.
I'm going to drive the ETH directly to Dave's house just to avoid all that. I'll just put it directly into cold storage.
Yeah, oh, I paid someone.
Can you explain what the gas fees are for ETH?
Well, Ascent.
No, Davis. Okay, and try to get it in under 20 seconds.
Essentially, gas fees are the fees that you are paying for your transaction, and it's distributed to a wide different number of people running nodes, miners, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, the way Ethereum exists right now, there are so many people sending on-chain transactions that you have to pay a lot for your payment to be preferred on an individual block. So therefore, you're paying a lot to send your money.
Davis, were you the kid at school and the teacher like asked a question and you're just raising your hand?
Depends on the class, bro. Depends on the class.
Who knows what the super airdrop means?
me. The super airdrop festival, dude. That was like that's like altcoin utopia, is when you get airdrop some coins that you didn't even know you should have.
All right. Let's talk about, collecting, because it seems like everyone's collecting right now. People that are in Dynasty, I feel like they are they were one of the first ones to be like in the sports cards, or some people that are in Dynasty. So now we've got the NFT space. So let's talk about NFTs, Top Shots, digital collectibles for sports. Let's just keep it just on the traditional side of digital sports moments versus cardboard versus the sports card. So, Davis, you and Tuttle will be on the side of the cardboard bros.
I can't argue this authentically, though.
You are a cardboard bro, though.
Yes,
I am, but I'm a Top Shot bro, too.
It's a skill to be able to debate a side, even if you don't feel strongly. Weren't you on a debate team?
You were in a debate team in college.
Davis?
National champion, but not this. We need to.
You were a scholarship for the debate team. Like, you should understand how to do this. Just act like this is part of your homework back in 2017. So
I was out of college for 3 years then.
You were not.
I'm old, bro. That's how long you've known me, Dave. Like, that is, almost that a decade at this point.
All right. So we're not going to get like super negative. We're not going to get, we're going to keep a positive work environment here with sports cards and NFTs. And I don't want it to be like you taking away from the other side. I want you to sell me on, if I don't have any collectibles or if I'm in the digital space, why I should invest in cardboard, Tuttle.
Yeah, you're picking the wrong two guys to do this, I think.
Cardboard. Think of it more as a debate exercise of just trying to make the best point you can. So you don't.
The reason why I would maybe tell someone to invest in cardboard over Top Shots is your potential audience to sell to is so much greater. There is no onboarding risk in the physical world at all. I could take a sports card off my desk. I could go to any card shop in the entire world and sell it for more than I paid for it, almost for certain. Like, I could find a way to do it, or even to just people on the street. Like, telling someone about a sports card is something they would understand. Maybe they wouldn't understand the grading and everything. Your potential market for NFTs, I mean, even Top Shots is taking off like a rocket ship. Their total number of users on the site today that made a transaction was 20,000 people. That's a super small subset compared to the amount of people, you know, with eBay accounts or whatever. Like, it, I think just the fact that so many more people would pay for it and value it already makes it like the superior collectible, honestly.
Tuttle, are card shops a thing now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, what are we talking about when you talk about a card shop? Because I remember when I was a kid, I would go pick out a card. You could buy an individual card.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's still like mom, pop run, local kind of, you know, the space that's really taking off is all the content creating space. So all the breaks. The breaks are, I think, breaks are what's huge, and they're it's what's fun. It's entertaining. Like people,
if you guys are on TikTok, hit up Al Zeidenfeld. He does some.
He doesn't do breaks on TikTok. He does. Hit him up on Twitch. That's where he does his breaks. He does his breaks on Twitch. He posts clips, I believe, on TikTok. I don't believe he goes actually live on TikTok.
Yeah. He's a cardboard guy though. He's not a digital believer. He likes things that you can feel. What are like, if you are to invest right now, like, I guess one of the things is for Top Shots, you can only do NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the market like for the cardboard sports as far as baseball, basketball, you know, whatever?
It's like Jordan rookies, LeBron rookies, vintage baseball cards, NFL quarterbacks, NBA rookies from the last 3 years is how I would rank them.
And it's very seasonal, just like I assume Top Shots is going to be too, which is the big thing if they don't get the NFL licensing right away. Like it's going straight into UFC. Oh, oof.
Kitchen hustle in the UFC streets.
I don't know anybody in the UFC market, but I will go there.
And if I were building an argument for cards too, I would say the high end cards, and obviously the super rare ones, they're gonna take on this level of novelty as the analog version of this. Like all the kids are gonna come in. It's in the same way that people like collecting records now, right? Like no one's listening to all their music predominantly on a record player, but they still are going out and buying these vintage records.
I buy records, and I never had a record player until I was 26. Yeah.
So they'll get used to it, you know, through the digital stuff, and then want to go back, whether either ironically or as a collector's item, I could see with some of these really valuable cards. Like even me now having some of these Top Shot moments, like it would be fun to have some of the physical cards for these guys that I've come to grow and love on Top Shot.
What about like getting into it? Cause right now Top Shots, like you're paying
here's the thing. Yes, you're paying more. Sports cards are confusing as all fuck. Like
you can't say that, Davis. You can't say the F word on here.
It's a lot of work.
It is
confusing.
We've got kids wondering if they should get into Top Shots versus sports cards, and you're dropping F.
So the first thing is that makes no sense to me at all. I've been doing cards for like literally like 2 weeks now. Why only rookie cards are valuable literally makes no sense to me. Why would I only want someone's rookie? Like, for example, for baseball, not only do you not want their rookie card, like the rookie card isn't even what you want their first card, which are ugly. They're just like, oh,
how you brought it as a prop for this.
Who is it? Yeah, that's Eloy Jimenez, his autographed Bowman Chrome rookie card. But it's ugly, but that is his best and most rare, highest coveted card. But they're never like, and Tuttle, you'll back me up on this. People's base cards sell more than like their, you know, their silver prism, hollow refractor. And it's like, these are not even cool looking cards. It's not even, it's totally arbitrary and does not make sense to me at all. So that's very bizarre.
And that's the interesting thing, though. You mentioned it's totally arbitrary, but that's the Top Shot market right now, too, right? It's totally arbitrary. Like
totally arbitrary.
People are making up the rules as we go along with Top Shots. We don't know 100% what's going to be valuable right now. That has already been carved out in the sports cards world. We know, you know, you can speculate, which kind of makes it fun with Top Shots. But with sports cards, you know what's going to hold value long term. You know what to target, which makes it easier in some sense.
There feels like there's a learning curve with that, Total, because you say you do, but that's because you're into it. Like someone who's just now getting into it is not going to know that, right? I feel like there's a big learning curve for cardboard right now.
Yes, there is. And I would also say this, if you had, I'm supposed to be arguing for cardboard. But here's the thing. If you had $50 to invest, throw it in Top Shots right now, 100%. is going to be the packs are.
It's because the packs are guaranteed profit, but okay, if I was not to,
eventually it won't be that way, right?
But if I was to say you couldn't buy packs, but you had to buy one PSA 10 graded card or one $50 moment, the PSA 10 card is just so much. Well, just even let's say 2 years, because I think we will see moments that cost $400 now go to $1 eventually when the market kind of levels out a little bit. Whereas just finding cards that are even graded at a PSA 10 right now, like the cheapest one you could find is just going to go up because of the way the money's coming in the space, I think. But if you were going to tell me you can spend $10,000 on a sports card or $10,000 on a Top Shot, I'd probably tell you a Top Shot.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm new into the space of cardboard. What should I do first? Go to my local Walmart and
actually
look for a pack?
No. Here's the thing you should do. Don't buy anything for 2 weeks. Listen to a couple podcasts. Just Google around like what sports cards are good, what brands are good. Look on eBay for athletes you like. Like for me, it was like Tyler Herro, Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, just like LaVisca Chenault, Patrick Laird, just like looking at their cards. And I bought a bunch of shitty ones that are graded by the wrong company.
Oh, I learned.
Yeah, like here, like I'll show just one that I have.
Remember, Panini Prism and PSA. Those are the
Panini Prism and PSA. So like this is a great example. So I bought a Topps is fine for hockey, but this is graded by the wrong company. This is graded by Beckett Collectors Club, which is...
Oh, I remember Beckett.
I want to vomit. Seeing
is that even Beckett? Is that even like the Beckett,
it's,
though?
It's not BG. So BGS is fine. Right. I don't understand exactly what BCCG is, but I think it's literally like you send it to a group of dudes who are like, yeah, this should get a 10.
I love how I'm asking, like, what should I do first? And then it's...
And I'm saying I made mistakes because you guys know me. I'm not going to temper into anything. I'm going to be like, I want this, this, and this, and this, and this. Yeah. And so I have... And here's another one. I have a really cool Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it's not a rookie card. So even if SGA becomes the best player in the NBA, wins the MVP 4 times in a row, that card is like, maybe it increases in value 100%, but his rookie cards would go to an insane degree, right? So it's just like, I just made a bunch of mistakes because I didn't know any better.
All right, and now now why you should invest in Top Shots. Let's pretend, Pete, that I have never heard of Top Shots, that I wasn't one of the originals to get in and kind of pump up the market. Let's like pretend all of this. I'm a no MoMA right now. You tell me why I need.
Yeah, you're trying to convince Nate Noling to buy in right now.
So
or Frisco first, Josh.
Yeah, right now aside from the technical issues, the actual value of the pack and the onboarding experience for people through packs is an extremely plus EV proposition. These $9 packs, most of them recently have had a value of around mid 30s. So you're looking at a 4X right there. The $1,000 pack from a couple Saturdays ago had like a $2,800 expected value. So if you're focusing on these packs, you're gaining immediate value and able to jump in to have some capital to play with. Now, on the other side, we've now reached another what feels like a mini top here, where the mania and euphoria is getting out of control. And in the marketplace, even I've sold a few moments and I'm like, I think I need to sit and wait on purchasing again until there's some kind of pullback or some kind of thing. But I think that's what's fun about Top Shot is you can interact with it at any level you want. If you're the Jeremy Levines who want to buy a $100,000 moment, boom, they're there for you. You just want to come in like Nate Fish Noling, Nemo Noling, and buy a $9 pack, a $14 pack, you can do that and make some money. So I would say get your feet wet with the packs. Do what Davis was saying too. Get familiar, poke around at the moments. There's really interesting things too. Like I was looking at the Kawhi Leonard Series 1 moments earlier today, and a lot of them, the base moment is more popular, you know, naturally the first moment, like you guys were talking about with the cards, the Kawhi one, the dunk is actually less expensive than the layup. And I think it's because not all of them have been released of the 1,000, and it's a smaller run. It's 11,000 mint versus like a 1,300. And so get familiar with the little quirks like that. And I think if I could go back in time, I wish I would focus way more on series one base moments, future Hall of Famers, the similar principles that Tuttle and Davis are talking about with the cards. Like, it's easy to get distracted by everything, but at the end of the day, the base moments, the studs, the rookies, those are what's going to appreciate in value.
It's interesting following the market too, because I feel like there are, like, there, you could teach a whole economics class based on Top Shots and supply and demand and everything that they've gone through. You know, I found myself purchasing just like the, I remember the first time that Top Shots like went offline, and when it came back, everyone had been talking like in the Discord about the Vince Carter moment, his last ever shot, the night of the Rudy Gobert, where they pretty much knew this was his last game ever. So Vince Carter hits a three, and it went from like 225. It was like $5, like 3 or 4 days before that, to 225. I got one for 225, and it kept on going up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to, oh. So I kept on buying like 450, 500, 600. And then I'm like, I got stuck with it. Like, I got, like, the market right now, I think, is even up is like 450 or 500, but it went down to like below 400. So you can get in that where FOMO kind of create suboptimal decision-making process for you. But on the flip side, knowing what, well, it's the same thing for like dynasty football. And here would be my pitch for someone that is not in any sort of collectibles, that they enjoy dynasty or they enjoy football. You know, what's one of the cliche words that we hear every year in the like pre-draft season or the draft season, right before the season starts? What's one of like the cliche words that you hear?
Sleepers. Upside. Yeah.
Sleepers. These are guys, league winners. You're making similar predictions for this space, and some are going to pay off and some are not going to pay off, but that's the fun of it. The other part for where I would say that has me on the digital side is, you guys know me, sometimes shipping is not my strong suit, right? Like shipping actual products. So me shipping a card to eBay or somewhere else to get graded, or shipping it to
let me tell you, dude, it's very involved, and it's got I have all these cards. I've opened some boxes and stuff, and I have some cards that are like theoretically should be worth a little bit. I'll never do the work needed to sell them. Never. I'll never.
So this reduces the friction.
So you can't withdraw from
process.
Cardboard is what you're saying.
I cannot. This is a river that only goes one way, Pete, and it's my river. It's my river of money going downstream.
I'm noticing a theme with these operations then.
So yeah, with the digital, like we talked about the airdropping of the box, the similar thing, like if you own five Cool Cats, the first Cool Cats, you got a Luka. Well, that Luka is now worth like what, 2,500 or more? And that was given to you free for these Cool Cats. And that's kind of what kind of started everything. And like we've talked about, these prices will eventually, like the price of the packs will go up, the prices of the moments will go down.
Yeah, dude, the Luka Cool Cats thing is kind of blowing my mind. Yeah. To see how much it's good.
I didn't do it.
I was just so wrong. Like, I thought it would kind of settle next to his MGLE, which is like about $1,200. I thought that would kind of be the peak of its price, and I just am so wrong.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that was interesting as far as, again, you're deciding like what should you put your hard earned dollars into, and then letting the market decide what that's going to look like. So like the LaMelo challenge card is going to be insane. As far as like the price of it, we've seen right now, I saw Chris Randone on Twitter say that he thinks the LaMelo.
No Randone mentions on the show, bro.
No, I want to hear this because I can't see it anymore. What did he say?
He said he predicted to Andy's tweet, the Dirty Rush tweet, that LaMelo's to 10K by end of the year.
That's so, my thought leader right there.
So can I tell you guys like a little bit of a rebuttal here based on what I've heard so far? Top shots, put money in because it's easy to make money right now because everything's just pure speculative trading. Mm-hmm. That's all the product is right now. You haven't pitched the product itself at all. You mentioned challenges a tiny bit, but let's say year or 2 years down the road, when we know they want packs readily available. We know they want you to just be able to log on, go get a pack. We know they're going to dilute the market big time in terms of that. So where's the value? How do we know this is going to have value in 2 years when everything's
wrong? So
I'm fully on sold.
So I know I'm the cardboard guy, but I guess I would say, you know, there's no value. Like, what can I do? Let's say I had a 1986 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie. It's not like I could do anything with that. You know, it's not like I can play a fantasy game with that. I mean, I can display it in my home. I can put it in a case, but that's not really any different to me than being able to tweet the link out to my Tyler Herro moment and say, you know, this moment is owned by Davis Matic, and it plays through the sneer and everything. Like, and I would actually say the utility for specifically sports related NFTs, and Dave would have to tell you more about, you know, like digital art frames for the Queen of Multitude and Nimbuds and Pranksy boxes and stuff. But I actually think
Beeple was the one that really kind of introduced the physical frame. Like, no, Beeple is a huge name. That's the auction house that's the big news yesterday. You know, a 300 or 400 years worth of auctions, and now they're going to be doing Beeple drops. Come on,
Dave was actually an original NFT pro along with Beeple. Back in the day.
I was telling Peter my first digital gift that I gave was when I gifted DavisMatic.com to Davis.
It's true. I still have it. The way that So Rare works is, I think, because people
give an elevator pitch, 20 seconds or less. So Rare,
you play soccer daily fantasy on the Ethereum blockchain, and you have to pay for the cards with real money, not fake DFS dollars. So I think a Top Shots fantasy game, DFS game, where you are rewarded in Ethereum, I guess, because Dapper transacts in USD, you could be rewarded in USD too. Yeah, I mean, it just, everything's easier when you're rewarded in Ethereum.
There was something with Swish and Whale going on.
There is a fantasy game that exists, but it doesn't exist on site. So if there was a game that existed on site where there was like actual money to be made, and then obviously, you know, I picked up Jackson Hayes. He starts tonight, you know, goes hammer. Then my Jackson Hayes moment goes up in value and I get the points and yada, yada, so on and so forth. That I think is just so clearly an A to B utility that I think you can't do that with cardboard, obviously.
You have $100 to invest right now. Tuttle, what are you investing in?
$100 to invest right now?
Yeah.
It's Top Shots is going to, if I'm looking for quickest, easiest return, it's easily Top Shots. It's not even close.
Like, but what on Top Shots?
What on Top Shots? I'm not the Top Shots guy.
I'm just
doing packs.
Tyrese, you can't get him for $100 anymore, but I'd say Tyrese Maxey rookie cards. Find a series one rookie that it's his very first moment on site.
There's only like three of those, but yeah.
When I had updated my spreadsheet the other day, I had pulled in a very new, interesting metric for me, which was Hall of Fame probability and looking at Series 1 base moments. And one of the cheapest guys down in there, you had Paul George, you had Kevin Love, guys there that you could get for sub $100 their first moment on the site with a high likelihood of entering the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I don't even know what rookies right now are under $100.
Josh Green is the only one, but to be honest,
the Ripple. Who is it that said it?
Our old friend, Timothy Frank, the fantasy golf man.
He says
it sounds like the market's back there, but 3 weeks ago or whatever, when I put my money on, you could instant flip a pack for $100, $200 easily. Cool Cats, you could do more. And then you could instant, you could just look at the lowest ask. If there was a car that had a lowest ask where the second lowest ask was, you know, 30% difference, you could just buy at the lowest ask and completely relist and flip it in the next day for that second lowest ask. That has been taken away from bots. Like, that's a big issue.
Yeah, they banned pickle. They banned pickle, bro.
They banned him. Like, imagine, like, in the DFS space, imagine if they had done that to, like, everyone, you like Max, or you know, or Beep, I'm a Jeep, or these guys that were using like scripts and stuff before they understood that these guys were good for their DFS economy. But if they would have, you know, they obviously had an unfair advantage during that time. And imagine if like DraftKings and FanDuel had booted them, it'd have been a huge thing. So, Peter, did you give us your recommendation for under $100?
Yeah, but I'm getting scolded in the chat. Is Pete aware there's different levels to the Hall of Fame? I promise anything I'm saying is not ironclad. The reason I mentioned Hall of Fame is because it helped get me on a straight and narrow where I'm not familiar with the NBA. I was going in, buying all these random moments, Western Conference Finals, denied series, and I realized, what do I need to get myself on track? Focusing on good players and their base moments and using Hall of Fame probability was a really good way to filter that down for me.
Yeah. So I was all in on rookies, and my intangible.market account is reflecting that now. However, I still think that you can go into the filters. You can go to Top Shot, you know, the marketplace, and then you can use the filters, and then you can filter by series one. And then you can go to lowest ask. And my boy Luke Kornet is there for $16. Ish Smith, $16. But you can look at other guys that are under $100. You know, there were only 4,000, sometimes less, of these moments, 3,300. Now, with as many people, because Top Shot has said they don't want these base card packs, you know, to be worth like a lot of money. Like, they're going to introduce as many as necessary to make sure that that happens. So like, they're going to meet the demand with supply of these base cards. So like, you shouldn't be able to flip a $9 pack for like $200. Like, eventually that's, you know, the market's going to correct itself. And that's also going to have an effect on like rare cards. So these base one moments, like, even guys like Josh Richardson, you know, there's only 3,300, because there might be 50,000 of season two moment. So these are going to be rare compared if this takes off.
Yeah, but scarcity doesn't just equal value necessarily, right? Like, this is the biggest leap that if anybody has any background with cardboard at all, the biggest leap is the comparison of prices, because there's no comparison at all, right? And Top Shots, some shitty player is worth money just because the market is currently saying they're money. And right. Cardboard, a bad player is just not worth anything at all.
Like literally, you cannot sell a Josh Richardson base card for 99 cents.
Right, like, but if there was something that was like,
even if there's a limited count of them, though.
Right. I was just going to say, to Tuttle's point, the whole Giannis MVP move series or whatever on there is a good illustrator of those.
I owned all 10 of those.
I got a few of them too. I mean, when I first saw, I was like, this looks great. There's only, you know, 299 of them or whatever. But it's all diluted. There's a bunch of them, and it's suppressing the value across the board, because initially I was just hunting for what's the most rare. But ultimately, if I would have just put that money into the base Giannis moment or the run it back Giannis, like, those have gone nuclear since then.
Yeah.
This is a great example of this, Tuttle.
Who is it?
This is a totally useless Tyler Bay.
Yeah, that you get
one of 25 autograph card. I literally, this is not even worth a dollar.
So Top Shotters will say, hey, it's only 25. Let's make it worth $500 right now, because there's only 25 of them. It's scarce. Where cardboard has been in that world forever, and they're like, no, that's still not worth anything.
Again, though, you might have, like, you have to kind of anticipate what is going to happen with Top Shots. Like, let's say that they roll out.
Well, again, you're trading the market. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. You're trading a market. Top Shot, that's all you're doing with Top Shots. You're investing in a market. Like, you're speculative trading. It has nothing to do with the product, though.
Yes, we're talking about like different things. Like we can enjoy the product and still try to get more out of the product. You know, I think that flippers in the NFT space and digital space are important, right? Because they help with, if you just had everyone that just bought and
if everyone was a true believer, if everyone was a true believer, this stuff would be terrible. I'm with you, Dave. The speculators, the Brit divines of the world, you know, they have a place in Top Shots for sure. Because if also on the other hand, if there were no true believers and everyone was just speculating, you wouldn't be able to spend $1,000 on a holo icon pack and sell it to anyone, you know, because you got to have for a market to remain in equilibrium, you have to have people who are willing to depart with the good for X amount of dollars. And you have to have people who are willing to consume and not get any more financial reward for the same amount of dollars.
I want to give a shout out to one of my guys in the chat, Jose. He pops into all of the YouTube chats lately, and I could tell he's like ready for some, you know, DFS talk, some fantasy talk, and then realizes that we're talking about Top Shot. Then he's always like, I gotta go. But appreciate you, Jose, for continuing to drop in.
Listen, we will be talking about, you know, as one of the forefathers,
the Dynasty Superflex, best ball rookie Superflex, draft at Superflex, ball, but maybe not, premium, but maybe is
premium tight end leagues. Yeah, we will be talking about we will be talking about the draft. We will be talking about best ball. Hopefully, we'll be talking about football Top Shots and football NFTs. We might even have a sports cardboard show, bringing in some of the RG cardboard guys, some of the Dynasty cardboard guys as well. So we will have plenty of football. But right now, let's face it, it's February. I mean, get your bank accounts ready for best ball season through Top Shots right now. I found though some good cards under $100, Series One, Reggie Bullock. Because
I can't co-sign this stuff,
Hold on.
With sports cards,
so you're saying there's value to just being the first moment?
No. You got to. Tuttle, you have to hear me out, Davis Jr., okay? Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay, I'll listen to you tout Reggie Bullock to the masses.
Do you know why I'm going to tout Reggie Bullock?
Because it's his first card in Series One. And
no, that's not why. That's not why. So that's why I'm asking you to give me the respect of a top shotter to pump this moment. And I think I only have one of this moment, if that. But this Reggie Bullock moment, it's a steal. You know who he steals the ball from?
LeBron.
So, Michael Jordan.
LeBron James.
So you're arbitrary. It's a ghost player again. You're just arbitrarily assigning value because this.
What do you want me to say, Tuttle, for under $100? Like, what do you, this guy has like gold underwear
So if we want to go back to the cardboard argument, I could give you an under 100 one that'll 2X in 2 months.
Okay. Who?
Any Vladimir Guerrero rookie card that's a PSA 10, it'll double.
Great. But yes, the whole point of the Bullock moment is that LeBron is in the moment. So you have some sort of investment in LeBron.
Again, you're just arbitrarily like creating value.
Yeah, Kitchen, this isn't a good sell.
That's what
to
the
me.
Market does though, right? I mean, that's one of the great points about Top Shot is that it can decide what is good and what is bad. And if a moment,
if you only have $100, you should be buying $1 base cards that you hope make it into the next an upcoming challenge where you can flip for 10-20x. That is what you should do if you have $100.
Well,
the other guy is Bogdan.
So let me tell you why, let me ask you a question. Why
Bogdan? I'm with Dave.
Because he's going to be the first NBA player.
If there's a card of John Starks dunking on MJ, why doesn't that just randomly sell for more? It should, right?
It will. It would go crazy. That would be an insane moment.
No, I'm not talking about moments here. I'm talking about cardboard.
Well, because cardboard, it's a little different.
How?
Yeah.
Because I do think
this is different.
Like, imagine, take the Vince Carter one. For example, which I think is very dependent on the moment, the clip, the whole thing. Like, how would a set photo of that like translate to a moment? Like, no one would look at that Vince Carter 3 and be like, oh, this is his last 3, and that like everything that led up to it. I don't know. I feel like the video gives
the video element
100%
to the
moment. You could literally put last moment on the card, or you could put the date.
That's you know what? If I want to take the top shot hat and argue against you, Tuttle, you know what's a big seller right now in the cardboard market? It's moving baseball cards from the Topps 2021 Series 1. Do you have a guess?
What? Say that again, sorry.
There's something extremely arbitrary that is making cards move from the 2021 Topps, the first MLB cards from this year. Do you know what the arbitrary thing is?
There's a difference between you say it because I'm not.
It's guys wearing masks. If they have their mask on in the picture, whether it be fielding or batting or in the dugout or whatever, those cards are selling for a premium, which is completely arbitrary. Means nothing. Has no impact on their value, on their career, or anything. But guys wearing masks in their cards are commanding a premium, which is totally arbitrary. So stuff like that, or another arbitrary thing in cards, if the border color matches the jersey of the player. So like, for example, if you had a LeBron card and you got the purple refractor that matched his purple Lakers jersey, that would make the card worth extra, which is again, arbitrary.
My piece of advice to circle back to the base moment thing is we've seen this whole craze with the rookies right now. And I know in general, rookies are coveted, but I think it was largely driven by them putting out those blog posts about the rookie badges. Even though that was kind of known knowledge even before that, those posts really instigated it. Things we know that are coming are the first moment badges as well. Once they do a blog post about that, even though we know they're coming, people are going to gravitate towards those Series 1 base moments. And I don't, maybe now with it all going crazy, it's getting priced in, but it still feels like relative to what we've seen the rookies do, these base moments can do that too.
Yeah.
All right. yeah. Also, a couple weeks ago when we suggested, I guess it was the week before Super Bowl, I don't know, but I suggested to invest in Darius Garland with me. It was $75 at the moment. Overnight, it has gone up to now $250.
So Dave,
everything's up, Dave.
Yeah, do you realize I could have picked the name out of
this? This is like touting my hash, my 2 weeks, my link to buy or whatever, because all altcoins are up.
Literally no, everything. Not in the past 2 weeks. You have not had that type of 4x or 5x. Okay. Unless it
would be hard to find one that's not.
But my whole point was that rookies, Series 2 rookies were going for a mint at the time, and Series 1 rookies were still undervalued. You have to, I mean, that's the whole thing about, again, this is why we could teach a whole economics class, is because you have to find inefficiencies in the market, just like you do sometimes with best ball, I have a guy that's going in the seventh round or eighth round that he should be going,
Tuttle is ready to grind the best balls, dude.
Listen, I love that we invoked some emotion. We went from Tuttle looking at some, some soccer highlights to him getting hit, passion pleas for people in the cardboard community come to his defense. So
a lot of cardboard heads watching Tuttle today saying, go off, King.
Go off, King.
Tuttle,
as I've said,
we have unintentionally crowned Tuttle as the cardboard king. whether you want it or not, Tuttle, it is yours.
So why, I guess I should say the reason why I find cardboard so interesting is that I fall in love with these dudes all the time anyways. I have my Jeff Janises, my whoever's, and it's just nice to have the little card to look at, you know?
Well, I saw a tweet from Andy. I think we referenced him earlier, Dusty Rush. And he had a thing of why would you sports bet? What is it?
It's Dirty Rush. It's you Dirty always say Rush. Dusty Rush.
No, Dust, I'm going to start saying that though. Pete.
I thought it was a bit, but now I'm realizing that you really thought his name was Dusty.
I like Andy. I didn't mean to, slander his name there. He said, why pay?
It's one letter can change year old.
Yeah. Who are the people I've tilted to? I mispronounce Aguiar. I said Giannis wrong. Is it Giannis? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I said Dusty Rush. So I'm the boomer of this show now. Anyways, his tweet was, why pay unbeatable VIG and bet on sports when you can just buy an asset that fluctuates with performance anyways? Which is kind of what Davis is saying. Yeah. Both Cardboard and Top Shots give you access to player performance via a stock market type tool where you can benefit from them doing well. And I think that's putting a bow on things, why this is also fun.
Davis, you said that you bought a Cardboard card for Lonzo Ball, right?
Yeah, but it's on Star Stock.
Okay, but still, I mean,
so I don't have it. It's still an asset.
And why did you purchase it?
Because he is going to get traded to a team that's better than the team that he plays on now, and I still think he's good. But it's just a hard.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's speculative right there. And you can also get his moment for $55.
Well, also I should say
one moment for
$55. If you're a speculator, Star Stock does make things easier because you don't have to drag your butt to UPS to go freaking put it. I just am imagining me with it. It's 6 inches of snow outside, just getting in my car, bundling up, going to the post office and like, you know, painstakingly putting my cards in car. Like it's literally something I'll never do. So I just am treating all this stuff as a sunk cost.
All right. Updating the poll. Did you guys look at the poll? Do you want to guess on like what the guesses were for
it? Dude, I got a sticker. I voted in the Swolecast Twitter poll today.
Did you tweet? You got to have a selfie of it. Put it in your fleece.
I rocked the hell out of that vote.
All right. What do you think neither is in this vote?
I bet pretty low. I would guess sub 10%.
Davis?
Same as Pete, yeah. Low.
All right. Tuttle?
It was sub 5.
Okay. Neither won the vote with 43%.
Wow. We know what our audience wants from us.
That is...
Well. All right. No, wait. Did more than 10 people vote?
Yes. Yes. Right now, 155 votes. So.
What? Who is the people who are even... It just blows my mind.
So NFT, so Top Shots, whatever, 35%. Sports card was the lowest at 10%, and then both at 12%. So we'll see how that progresses. But yeah, interesting. I thought it'd be more too. But that's hopefully why this show is good for people, is so that they can see the show and just be like, oh, remember what they said. And not really remember anything. I mean, we don't think we came to clear, concise points, but we certainly talked about it. So,
you know, what's crazy though, is I feel like there are still people in the world today who watch stocks go up, who watch Bitcoin go up, who watch GameStop, who watch sports cards, and they still don't invest in anything. And they just put their money in their savings account and just sit there.
Yeah.
It sounds like 43% of our audience might fall into that bucket.
But isn't that crazy, though? Like, doesn't that literally break your brain to think about?
Yeah. But think about you. The more levels you go, someone's saying that about me. Oh, my God. I can't believe Peter doesn't have a hash mask. I mean, how could you live on Earth without a hash mask?
I think we can all just universally agree the worst thing to do with your money right now is leave it in U.S. dollars. Anything else is above expectation compared to leaving it in
U.S.
dollars.
If you would have just put it in a Darius Garland moment 2 weeks ago, you would have 4X'd already.
4X,
if you just 5X. Buy, if you just buy a Vanguard ETF, you know, or a Gretzky PSA 10, basically the same thing.
Should we tell people to subscribe to the channel so we don't get canceled again?
Yeah, we definitely should. And also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Swolecast. Subscribe. We're going to blow up. This is going to blow up in the off season. The Swolecast is. I just have after 7 years, 8 years, it's going to go crazy.
Just got to put more production work into it, and I think we'll be good.
Yeah. Shout out to producer Devin for all the hard work he does, putting up with everything. Final thoughts, Davis? You probably gave yours, right?
Invest in something. Doesn't have to be good, just something.
What about invest in yourself, Davis?
You beat me to it. I was going to do that, Dave.
Dang it.
Sorry.
I guess you know you're off your game if Kitchen's stealing your bits for a day.
I'll just have to go to what my guy, Fred Van Vliet, says, bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And the S in yourself is a dollar sign.
Where did FVV go to college?
Wichita State.
Yeah. Shocker.
It's right down the road. It's right down the road for me.
Oh gosh, he put Luke Kornet out in that round of 64 game. It was so sad.
Imagine not knowing where Fred Van Vliet went to college.
Do you remember? Is that a Van Vliet bobblehead?
Yes. Amazing. I told you it's been an expensive new hobby.
Who was his? He had a guard in the backcourt at Wichita State that played for the Knicks for a bit.
Who also threw out a first pitch immediately after I threw out a first pitch? Connor Frankamp.
No, this
no.
Kitchen's thinking of somebody different.
Is a white guard.
Connor was white though too.
Connor Frankamp.
I don't think it was.
Ron Baker from the Knicks. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Pete, anything else you want to pump for the show?
No,
your
man.
Club Top Shot, your Van Vliet moments, anything?
Yeah, whoever bought the clubtopshot.com domain, if that was you, please get in contact with me. I want to know what you got up your sleeve.
Probably the same guy who took a picture Ethereums. With me. 19 Ethereums. Took a picture with me at Disney World. Tuttle, final thoughts? Any Top Shots you want to pump? Or maybe a plea to Top Shot? To let you back in to good standing.
DFS is dead. Just buy packs.
NBA DFS, dude. These streets, man.
It's brutal out there.
Everyone plays so good. You literally just have to get the strategy now is to just get lucky with either gambling on no late news or gambling on not having anyone at lock and having someone big announced out later and running hot, because everyone is just playing perfect. It's like playing it's like playing poker against solvers. Like, it's just too hard.
All right, that will do it.
It's just tough, man.
I'll do it for this whole cast. Please leave us a comment, tell us your thoughts, where you lie, and maybe if we convinced you to get into the Top Shot or collectible market, that'd be good. So hit us up on Twitter as well, and we will see you guys sometime soon. I don't know if we worked out a schedule. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Consistency doesn't matter. We'll see you next week.